Welcome to the next session of the Community Health Worker section. And this is a session which is in a special format, or sort of a town hall format, and it's called the CHW Certification Credentialing. What have we learned and how will we proceed? And, you know, we're spread out in kind of a funny way, and I would, you know, encourage people to come forward. And those of you that are part of the presenting states, if you're in the back, we're having you all sit down on the floor because some states had more than one presenter, and so we wanted to make room for everybody. So I'm up here, not to be up on high, but this is where the mic is and the buttons are, so I got to stay put. Well, what we'd like to do with this session, we've been about an hour and a half, of course, and we're going to take the first half hour to set the context. Some of you have been in other sessions with the section already and are aware of a lot of different credentialing issues going on around the country with community health worker states. These states are among those that have taken some of the early steps, some earlier than others, in terms of being engaged in working to move forward the community health worker workforce with this particular process of looking at certification credentialing and how it fits for their state. And we wanted to ask them to provide a very brief snapshot, partly because some of this has been presented in other sessions today. We wanted to limit the time that we spend discussing the particulars of any one state's activities. But we also wanted to begin with sort of some common ground. So we're asking that each of the presenters literally spend, and this is where Laura Baena comes in as instrumental, 3 minutes presenting on the 3 slides that they've prepared just to set the groundwork. And we have 7 different entities. Ohio couldn't be here, so I'll be reviewing their slides. But the 7 states in alphabetical order would share a little bit about their process that they're engaging in. And then we'll take another half hour at Susan Mayfield Johnson. Dr. Susan Mayfield Johnson has been part of the organizing of this session and very much instrumental in putting this PowerPoint together. And she will be providing us with questions. So if any of you have index cards from the last roundtable session, questions you have for the presenters, you can submit those. We're going to spend about a half hour on those questions, and then we're going to spend our final half hour with an open mic to talk, but we're hoping everyone would limit their comments or questions to about 3 minutes so that we can hear from as many voices as possible. And before we begin, even the few slides on certification in general, I wanted to just share a little history of the community health worker section. First of all, I want to make it clear that our section isn't endorsing credentialing as something specifically certification of CHWs as something that states should be engaged in, or state-level networks should be engaged in. But we recognize that there's an emerging trend in the nation, that there's certainly attention being paid. I happen to live in Texas at this time, didn't when the state began certifying community health workers, but that was the earliest in the nation, and now we're seeing many players exploring what this means. We felt like it's very important as a section to begin to examine and help others be informed about what those processes are going around the nation. And some 10 years ago, we had a debate on this topic. We had, I mean, honestly, we had 500 people in the room, and there was the sort of the lay health advisor end of the spectrum, the volunteer CHW world, and the paid community health worker advocates, and all of us thinking we were in the same camp, but discovering we had a lot of differences in the way we saw these issues, and not always driven along the line of paid and volunteer, but certainly driven around different ways we might see to strengthen the community health worker presence in our health and human services system. And building on that tradition, we wanted to come back to this topic, but we also wanted to look at it as a growing dialogue as opposed to a debate. So some of the format that that we're trying out today is based on that goal. Now, logistically speaking, again, I'm going to rely on Laura. I'm going to spend about 3 or 4 minutes just setting some more context, and then I'm going to turn to each state. Can we just go across the group? And we've got Texas, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Minnesota, New York, and Illinois or Chicago. It's a state level effort, so Illinois. So you guys need to do the alphabets with me, and the slides will come. Susan has done a great job putting this together, and I've got to be your. Okay, so as questions occur to you, we really would love it if you'd write those down, because for about half an hour we'll use those to drive the dialogue and then again open the floor. So looking at what is credentialing. Credentialing is a process of documenting a person's qualifications to perform the duties of an occupation or profession. So credentialing is an active way of enumerating, of encompassing, of articulating what are the roles that a community health worker or other professional plays, but then also putting a credential forward that certifies on some level that they have a certain set of skills and competencies. And there are quite a range of ways in which certification and credentialing happen. And some of those are based on performance, and some of those are based on what I've heard my colleague Don Prue call seat time. You know, people participate in a certain number of hours of training, and then they get a credential. So there's a range. We also see in types of credentialing, you get registration, where there's a list of people who have a credential, certification, the state, or another body like a community health worker organization at a state or a national level would give a certification. Registration can be managed, again, by a public or private entity, a permit to practice or a license to practice. And in the community health worker field, it seems the most common is currently certification, but I know states are considering things like registries and other ways of putting forward more recognition of the CHW field. Certification, declaration by issuing authority that an individual has necessary skills. And it is not the same as a certification of completion. But in some states, as I mentioned, there may be some ways in which there is this seat time is part of a certification process. Yet, it is important to recognize that this is a bit different than, say, completing a course of study and getting a certificate that I attended this training or that. So it's another step to perhaps encompass many trainings, many different experiences, and issue a certification. Issuing authority, again, can be governmental, educational, association, employer-based. It does not have to be the government, but in some cases it is. And I thank Carl Rush for providing some of the information for these slides. Now, we're going to begin with Illinois, and then if you look to Laura, she's going to just literally flash each state when they have 1 minute left, so I just need you to tell me. I thought there would be a floor mic, but since there doesn't seem to be, I'd like to just pass this down. It won't come down. It'll be taped. Why don't you just come up? Unfortunately, the logistics of this is a little hard with such a large group. So I'm just going to sit here.
Johnny Tyler, Chicago Family Health Center. Well, first of all, from Illinois, and also Vice Chair of the Chicago Community Health Workers Local Network.
Hello, and I'm Janice Stanzel. I'm with Health and Medicine Policy Research Group, and I've been working very closely with the local network in Chicago to move forward with thinking about certification in Illinois. And Johnny and I will both be available to answer questions. Since we have 3 minutes, I will just...
Janet's going to give the slides. They'll take out 3 minutes and go over the overview.
All right, so just a really brief timeline of the work in Illinois. The local network of community health workers in Chicago started organizing community health workers across the state in 2003. And by 2009, they had developed a lot of interest in moving forward with certification, and they held a forum to start to build consensus around what certification or credentialing would look like in Illinois. And this consensus statement is something that is used day-to-day by the local network and its allies to move forward with this work. It sets general principles around certification. The idea is that it should be voluntary, it should be accessible to every community health worker who wishes to become certified or credentialed, no matter language, documentation, education, status, etc. So there was really a lot of momentum built from 2003 to 2009 to move forward with this concept. And in 2010, there was a forum that was co-hosted by several organizations, including the local network and my organization, to start to look at the policy development process that would have to take place to get certification or credentialing in Illinois. I only have 1 minute left. Goodness. That was really quick. But essentially, we've done a lot of engagement with community health workers. We've done a lot of workshops. We've done an online statewide survey and gathered input from community health workers. This is a very community health worker-driven initiative. It's led by community health workers. And we're currently analyzing the data to move forward with how to move forward with this in Illinois. From the community health workers' perspective, certification can help improve the appreciation of the role of community health workers, especially in healthcare settings, now that health reform has recognized the role of community health workers on healthcare teams, really establishing this value in Illinois. And also it may provide the foundation for future promotions or salary increases or improved funding for this work. And finally, it is CHW-driven and led in Illinois, but they are doing it with several partners. So as you can see on this list, we have a lot of partners involved, a lot of people supporting this model in Illinois, and we're definitely happy to answer questions about how we've engaged CHWs and how CHWs have been driving the effort to really move forward with this. So I will stop there. Thanks, and we'll move on.
It's kind of speed dating. Thank you. Massachusetts would be next, and then Minnesota, followed by New Mexico. So sorry about the logistics of the mics. They're just such a wealth of possible presenters that we had to modify our format.
Hi, I'm Gail Hirsch from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health Office of Community Health Workers, and I'm on the board for the Massachusetts Association of Community Health Workers, and...
My name is Lorenza Holt, and I'm on the board of directors of MACHWA, the Massachusetts Association for Community Health Workers, and I am a community health worker.
And Susan asked me for slides the other day as I was leaving for the airport, and I don't remember what we put up. So winging it here, these are the people you can contact. One of them didn't make it out of Massachusetts. That's Joanne, but she was supposed to be here too. So
you can press it down.
Okay. So just a quick update on where we are at with certification in Massachusetts. It was signed into law to create a board of certification at the Department of Public Health in our Division of Health Professions licensure as a result of community health worker advocacy in 2010. And the intent of the law is to recognize and support the great work that community health workers do. It's a voluntary certification, and it doesn't exist yet. So the board is just beginning to meet and be convened and to determine what the certification process will be for community health workers and for training entities for community health workers. The board is comprised of 11 members. I have 1 minute left. That's great. And and it's chaired by the Commissioner of Public Health or his designee. Four of the 10 other seats are chosen from community health workers that are recommended by MACHWA. And then you can see where the other representation comes from. I think there may be one more slide. And so we operate under open meeting law. We've had three or four meetings so far. And all these meetings are open to the public. And this is just basically the provisions of the law that we're going to need to be developing regulations for, which is what it will take to be certified as a community health worker, as a training program, as a community health worker trainer, what the continuing education requirements will be, what the grandparenting will look like, if there's going to be any kind of exam or not, what kind of documentation or assessment there will be for the field, and any fees or reciprocity with other states, and complaints and that sort of thing, just like any other sort of regulatory board for a health health-related profession. And I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Gail. Make sure you introduce yourselves as you come. So next up would be New Mexico after Minnesota. Who invented this speed dating thing?
Yeah, I should get more time because my voice is cracky. But in Minnesota, we took a different approach. We had a three-tier process that we went through. One was to create a standardized curriculum that was credit-based in Minnesota. We also tried to create a better workforce for CHWs, and then to create a funding stream for CHWs that was sustainable. So the first thing we did was we built a very large partnership. It's very statewide. It encompasses a lot of diverse groups and populations, including our CHWs. Our CHWs were one-to-one and everybody else that we had in our group, and so it was very much CHW-driven. A lot of focus groups were around CHWs before we moved forward and made decisions.
But we first developed our scope of practice, which I think if you don't have a scope of practice on what your CHW is, you're going to kind of miss the boat because you need to define who they are and what they are and what they can and can't do. So those discussions are really important. From our scope of practice, we then developed our curriculum. Our curriculum is based in three different steps. One is the core competencies, which are related back to the scope of practice of a CHW. Without those core competencies and for CHWs to have those basic skills, it will help them be productive in their job and what they do. The communication skills, their legal and ethics ability, their being able to teach, it gives them all these basic skills. We then also have the health promotional pieces in there, and we also have an internship. The internship was very key to our success because what it did was it got the CHWs into doors and organizations, facilities they may not have ever been able to get into, and it helped those facilities learn about the role of the CHW and what they can bring to them. Our curriculum is 14 to 16 credits. It's financial aid ability, so CHWs can apply for financial aid. Also, our employers pay for the training themselves. Once they receive their certificate, they can use that then to enroll as a Medicaid-enrolled provider in the state of Minnesota and are then given a code and they can bill for Medicaid. So, thank you. Done.
Okay. New Mexico. Little workout. Just have a wave.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Christina Carrillo. I'm the Bureau Chief of the Health Systems Bureau, within which the New Mexico Office of Community Health Workers resides. And I also just want to recognize we have at least two individuals from our CHW Advisory Board, Mark Simone and Daryl Smith, right there. So thank you guys for being here. Okay, down. Mm-hmm. All right. This I won't read through, but what we're trying to do in New Mexico when we talk about certification and training is promote why New Mexico needs CHWs, and our health statistics show why. We have very poor health outcomes. We're a very rural state, and so one of the things that we do emphasize, not necessarily certification or not, what we're saying is we need to promote this workforce because New Mexicans are dying unnecessarily and being burdened with diseases that can be prevented if we do promote CHWs. So those are just some of our statistics that show why. Okay, I didn't do this, but this was one of those animated things. But it did start off historically at a grassroots level when a Senate Joint Memorial that came through, and this Senate Joint Memorial charged the Department of Health with doing a feasibility study for a CH advocacy model for the state. There was a group task force that was put together. They did do a study and then made recommendations that, yes, indeed, New Mexico not only should proceed with implementing a full CHW model, but that a CHW advisory council be formed and that this group inform the state on how this model should be developed. So a CHW advisory council was created, and we depend heavily on this group. We've sent a net far and wide to make sure we're inclusive, and it was that group that actually promoted the fact that we now have an office of CHWs that works hand in hand with them. And again, what we're just trying to emphasize is that our true goal is to fully integrate CHW into New Mexico systems of care in order to increase access to health care and reduce the health disparities. So when we talk about our arguments, that's really what we stick to.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, representatives from Ohio couldn't be here, you said no. I think we got our alphabet out of order. New York. Sorry, Seth, how could I forget?
I am from New York.
No, I know. Ohio comes after you.
So good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sergio Matos, and I am the Executive Director of the Community Health Worker Network of New York City, and now the Director of the Community Health Worker Network of New York State, which is a statewide professional association of community health workers. I am not going to talk about my slides because I don't remember what they were, and 3 minutes just doesn't do it. What I will tell you is that we are a professional association of CHWs. Our purpose, our mission as an organization, is to advance the community health worker workforce. Our efforts to advance the workforce are guided by our core values, and they are three. One is CHW leadership. We live by the core value that CHW should lead all efforts that affect our practice or that lead to any governance or regulation of our practice. Our second core value is one that maintaining the integrity and the character of the workforce. We will advance the CHW workforce only insofar as we're able to maintain its integrity. And if credentialing goes along with that core value, then fine. If credentialing does not, then we're not really interested. I will tell you right away that sometimes I feel like a nut and sometimes I don't, and I told people that earlier in the minute. Yesterday I was all gung-ho for credentialing. After hearing Felicia's story, I'm not so sure. I suspect that maybe this is something that is so sacred that maybe we should just leave it alone. So talk to me tomorrow, I might feel differently. And our third core value is that CHWs work in the context of social justice. Although healthcare certainly presents significant opportunities, healthcare is a strategy to us to advance the CHW workforce, but we are cognizant that we represent a much larger workforce, and many of those workers do not work in healthcare, or at least not what many people consider healthcare. So we know that our workers work in early childhood education, in violence, in safe streets, in hunger, in poverty, prisoner reintegration, recidivism reduction. And these are issues that, although should be considered health, many people don't consider health. And so we are very aware that healthcare is only a small piece. We are also very aware that credentialing is regulation, and that's all it is. It is control. If you certify something, then you control who can be that and who cannot be. It does not contribute to advancement. It does not contribute to better salaries. It does not contribute to improve financing unless you deliberately make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Sergio. State of Ohio representative couldn't be here, but they have, I guess, the second oldest certification of CHWs in the country, so we wanted to have an opportunity to just have their programs recognized. Since there's no one here to answer questions on Ohio, I think we just briefly mentioned that they have shared that they have now 400 community health workers that are certified. Their Community Health Worker Association is now involved in the leadership of some of this, but in early years, I know the Board of Nursing was involved in establishing the certification in Ohio, and the certification is important to CHWs from the voice of some of the folks who have organized that in the state because of the professional standing that allows it, the tracking of continuing education, billing for services rendered, and an edge in the job market. And I think Sergio's point, just to comment, was very interesting to say that certainly certification doesn't automatically link to financing in any way. There's certainly experience that in other states that would show that that has to be a very separate and active process. And so this is all we're going to have on Ohio, Texas.
Hi, my name is Beverly McCarty, and I work for the Texas Department of State Health Services, which oversees the Community Health Worker Training and Certification Program. I can't remember what's up on the slide, so I'm going to wing it. Texas has a longstanding certification program, which originally grew out of the interest of the South Texas Promotora Association and perhaps in other associations and legislators along the border, the south part of Texas. That evolved, and today we have about 2,000, I skipped a lot, we have about 2,000 certified community health workers with significant growth in the last 3 years. In Texas, eligibility for a certification is based on two paths. We do not use the word grandfathering. We have a path to eligibility for certification based on experience with certain details, and we have a path based on training. We have a number of partners. Do I have any slides?
Will you just
We have a number of partners that collaborate With us, we have a multitude of training programs, which, as you can see, come from a wide variety of folks. We have an advisory committee, which is made up of 9 members, 4 of which are certified community health workers. And we play with health plans, FQHCs, state agencies. We play with a lot of folks. And then the next slide. Again, we have about 25 training programs right now and 145-ish certified instructors. And I want to turn it over to Julie.
So this is probably the most question, or one of the main questions we get asked is, what are the benefits? And so we polled some of our certified community health workers, and these are the responses. Many of these have already been mentioned. What does it mean for you to be a certified CHW or instructor, demonstrate achievement or success professionally, recognized as a valid, important member of the healthcare team, better equipped to serve their communities, adds credibility, they're more confident in what they do? How has being certified helped or benefited you? More access to training and education, better employment opportunities, increased salary, opportunities to present to other entities such as national conferences, and increased skills and abilities to work as a firm authority. And then the last one, what motivates you to keep your certification, because we do have where you have to recertify every 2 years to give to the very best to the communities they serve. That's your motivation, the love of being a firm authority and the love for their community, to demonstrate respect and support of the CHW certification program and the opportunities that come with certification, some of those being better employment salary, professional personal development, increased ability to serve their communities. Thank you.
Thank you.